Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Matt Harrison, is the author of our Book of the Month for March, Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? Instruction, Meditation, and Prayers on Luther's Small Catechism. This new devotional resource is available in print and as an ebook. Learn more about Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? There are a lot of ideas that sound great on paper. They really do. They may even sound affordable on paper, but it is the law of unintended consequences that we need to be careful, especially when we write big, sweeping, and potentially not only expensive in terms of money, but expensive in terms of the damage that can be done policies as a people. We are a nation of laws, and laws govern us, but we got to be careful how we write them because that law of unintended consequences, even more so when we're talking about regulatory agencies or things like how we spend Social Security. Joining us to talk about the Republican Party and paid leave, Joy Pullman. She's a regular guest, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and of a recent column titled Wrong GOP, Making Babies Should Be Between a Husband and a Wife, Not Single Women and Taxpayers. Joy, welcome back.
Hi there.
You say the more government does for families, the more it destroys families. What do you mean by that?
I mean that the essence of family is interdependence. People in a family all need each other to do many deeply important things for us and need us to do deeply important things for them. And so when that ecosystem of obligation, of duty, of responsibility and benefit from the people that the families that we're born into, when that ecosystem is disrupted by outside organizations trying to take on responsibilities that belong to a family, then it slowly but surely leads to complete family disintegration.
So what caught your interest here, especially with respect to the Republican Party and paid leave?
Well, I have kind of a hobby horse of I have a lot of little kids, so I'm really interested in how best to raise them and take care of them. And so that seems to be a thing that is on a lot of people's minds nowadays, because I think it really is because, you know, the United States welfare state is at a point where we have covered so many constituencies, and this is just one more thing kind of to sweep into the cradle to grave welfare state that we've got going. So the federal government already actually runs at least 43 early child care and early childhood programs. But right now, you know, taking time off after work is something that the government doesn't do, at least on the federal level. So it's just, you know, adding one more link to the long chain, really bankrupting the nation as well as our personal relationships.
So what is it that these lawmakers fail to understand, the ones that are calling for kind of extending funding into paid leave? What is it they fail to understand?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that they fail to understand, and it's really disappointing to be on the conservative side of the political and the religious spectrum and see people who claim to represent me, and in many cases they do, but in many cases they don't, on that kind of side of the political spectrum, completely misunderstanding, you know, what it is that a woman is and what it is that a child is, and their deep relationship to each other as well as to the father of that child and the husband of that wife. I mean, so if it's just clear to me that men and women are biologically different, and that's become a politicized fact nowadays. But it's just true, you know. So women really cannot act like men because women are not men, and our bodies do different things. And of course, one of the key differences is that we gestate babies inside our bodies and we nurse them. And even though, you know, babies, when they separate from us, they can, you know, they can be separated technically and substitute for nursing with a bottle. Those babies still need their mother's constant physical presence for many years after they are technically separated. So those are deep biological differences and needs that ought to be reflected in the way that our society thinks about how to care for children, how to take good care of families. And instead, even from people who should be realizing that men and women are different, which has now become a conservative thing, and I don't think it should be. It's just a plain true thing. You know, so people on that side of the political spectrum who will say that, then they don't reflect that in their policy choices like this one that a lot of Republicans are coming out and supporting.
So how much of your concern is whatever the government subsidizes, it ultimately controls?
Well, there's definitely an aspect of that as well. But I mean, something that really concerns me is the fact that the vast majority of American women, after they have a baby, we do not want to be going right back to working full time. And programs like this assume that that kind of life script is the default. And it, in fact, preferences that by sending subsidies to the thing that most women really don't want to do. So it's pushing women into doing a thing that our bodies, that our instincts, that our emotions, and our desires really don't lean towards naturally. And I just really think it's unfair to deny women what their own instincts and their hearts tell them they want, which is to be close to that baby, not just pretending that childbirth is a quick bump in the rat race of life while we're all running along on the treadmill of career, just like all the men who don't bear babies are. So my deepest concern really is the ignoring of the uniqueness and the preciousness of what women offer to society, and just telling women, you know, that if they don't act like men, and then that you know, we're somehow not as good people. So that's really frustrating to hear as women. Again, as particularly someone on the conservative sides of things, we value family, we value marriage, we value children, but why don't, you know, our policy prescriptions reflect those values? It's frustrating to me.
What does the polling tell us about if whether or not paid leave is a priority for women voters?
Well, I think that's part of the reason that there's Republicans going into this, because if you just ask Americans, do you support paid leave mandates or government-provided paid leave, you'll get huge support for that, something like 70-80% of Americans, both Republicans and Democrats. But that asking just that way is kind of like asking, you know, do you want everybody to get ice cream every Sunday? Of course, Americans are all about, you know, more good stuff for more people. That's we are lucky to live in a country where we're constantly getting more good stuff for more people because of our successful capitalist society. But when you ask them a question about trade-offs, what are they willing to give up? What do they think people should sacrifice in order to get this, to get paid leave programs for women? Support for the programs plummets. So if rather than asking a pie in the sky kind of fake question, because nothing just drops out of the heavens, I mean, in this life, you know, well, I guess except grace and salvation, but that's not a political realm. So, but nothing, you know, in this life just drops on our heads without someone having to create it, provide it, fund it, you know, come up with a source for it. And so if you ask people in a real world context where there are trade-offs, where there's somebody spending the money, where there's a source of that money, where there's things that happen to women as a result. So for example, in other countries, we found that having paid leave programs tends to actually reduce women's career success. It also makes them more likely to work longer, farther away from their children, and more likely to put their kids in daycare. So there's a host of negative consequences from these kinds of programs that we see. And if you say to Americans, well, would you support a paid leave program if what happened from that was that women would get promoted less, or they would be less likely to be hired because the employer is sitting there thinking, oh, you know, maybe I might lose this employee for a couple of months and not get any, you know, work while still having, you know, being paid, or maybe I'm going to get rid of my paid leave program and let taxpayers pay for it, you know, so therefore there's another expense off of the employer's back. So when you ask people with real world trade-offs like that, they really don't support it.
You say that women don't want welfare, but they want self-sufficiency. But what does that self-sufficiency ideally look like?
Well, I mean, women want to be married and have a happy home. It's not politically correct to say that, but it is absolutely 100% true. And even women like me who, I mean, I initially thought that I didn't need or want to necessarily have a home, that I wanted a career. I mean, a man, you know, was take or leave it, maybe if he adds some things to my life. So I bought that whole line. But, you know, when we encounter what it really means to have a home and to make a home and to enjoy our children and to deepen our relationship with our husband over a time, that is maybe the number one thing that leads to happiness in this life. And if you ask women that over and over, and if you ask Americans that, it's number one thing they say that gives them the greatest, deepest happiness in their life is their family. So at the end of our lives, when we look back on our lives, we're not going to say, gee, I wish I put in more time at the office. You know, I wish I had had, you know, government subsidized more things in my life. We're going to say, wow, I really wish that I had upheld more duties and more responsibilities to more people, because what you get out of life is a direct relationship with what you put into it. So the more responsibility that people take on in life and the more commitments that they fulfill to other people, the more meaning and joy they have in life. We see this in social, you know, psychology all the time. Your happiness is directly related to how much you are giving to other people and how many other people you are upholding and serving. So that women, I mean, of course, you know, we all are at different points in our growth trajectories as human beings. But if you talk that through with people, we understand that it's true. As soon as I say that, you know, people recognize that it's true. And as soon as there's a little bit of self-reflection, people recognize that that's the truth.
Joy Pullman is our guest. She's managing editor of The Federalist. We're talking about the Republican Party and paid leave. When we come back, she says that these kinds of policies ultimately pit women against one another. We'll find out how.
Christians in the public square, joyfully Lutheran, the Lord's Supper, political and religious conservatism, the Hippocratic Oath. Some of your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org. The one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us. E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L press.us.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This glorious good news is and always has been too good not to share. It compelled Peter, Paul, and the other apostles to the very ends of the earth, and it continues to drive Lutheran Church Missouri Synod missionaries even today. Learn more here in the April issue of The Lutheran Witness magazine. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Republican Party and paid leave. Joy Pullman is our guest, managing editor of The Federalist. It's a little quotation from Martin Luther from our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March called Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran by Pastor Matt Harrison. Calling on God's name is also a blessed and useful habit and very effective against the devil. He is ever around us and lies in wait to bring us into sin, shame, and disaster and trouble, but he hates to hear God's name and cannot remain long where it is spoken and called upon from the heart. You can find out more about this meditation, instruction, and prayers from Luther's Small Catechism, written by Pastor Matt Harrison, the book Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, available in print and as an ebook. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Joy, you say that policies that would subsidize paid leave for women actually could end up pitting women against one another. What do you mean by that?
Well, as I explained in our last segment, and just establishing a policy like this creates a preference for women who choose to work full-time very soon after the birth of a baby, which, as I also noted, is not the majority. It's a small minority of American women. So that's one way that the policy automatically pits women against each other by preferencing one set of actions and life choices over another set of women's actions and life choices, and forcing the majority of women to subsidize the life choices of a minority. But another way that these policies pit women against each other is we've seen an experience and research from other countries, and a couple of states have mandatory government paid leave programs. And those show that instituting them decreases women's likelihood of getting promoted. It also decreases women's likelihood of getting hired. And that is because in the promoted one, when there is more paid leave available, you know, women are more likely to, of course, take it, and therefore it sets back their careers. But in the other one, the promotions, but it also is related to the same thing that the second one is, the lack of being hired in the first place. It makes corporations, businesses more wary of hiring women because they don't know if this, you know, if a woman might be likely to be leaving them for a significant amount of time to care for her baby after the baby is born. So those are some ways where, you know, basically rather than letting women make their own choices, and women who want to be more career oriented or want to do that in a certain time of their life and not at another time of their life, rather than letting them make their own decisions and it all being related to, you know, them, their success as well as their failures all be on their own shoulders. Instead, what it does is take the choices of some people and conflicts it and makes it have reverberations on other people's choices in life. And another way that it also does this is by sticking women more deeply to the workforce. Now, the people who support these programs say, tout as one of its benefits, that it makes women more likely to stay in the workforce longer and more quickly after they've had a baby. But I actually think that is a problem because we know from child development research that separating a mother from a baby in the baby's first 3 to 5 years, so not just baby, but child, has significant negative effects on children. It makes them anxious. It makes them clingy. It makes them more likely to act out. It, in fact, hurts their health. Kids who are separated from their mothers have more things like ear infections and just other kinds of diseases. And so all of those have long-term effects and make kids more anxious, more likely to be on medication, as well as Quebec, it was found that mother separation was found to increase the crime rate. So, I mean, I am a working mother. I, you know, think women should be free to choose that, and, you know, try to get the best balance of supporting their families and through both, you know, work as well as supporting their families in the home. So I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to denigrate anybody's choices. I've made those choices myself. But what I am trying to say is that women need to be informed about their decisions. But also, you know, those we also shouldn't be forced to subsidize the choices of some people at the expense of others. And we certainly should not be subsidizing, you know, what we have seen and we know from the research about small children really is not good for little children and thus the rest of society at large.
You have said this. You said the government can only do a few things well, and none of them are related to raising children. With about a minute and a half, what do you mean by that?
Well, so I have for a number of years been what they call an education researcher for a think tank. So I spent a lot of time reading research about children, about education, social science, and so forth. I've also written a book about it. And so I've done a lot of looking at the federal government's involvement with various family-oriented programs and education. And the overwhelming result of that is the more that you know about the federal government's involvement with trying to raise small children, the more you know that it is a history of utter failure. The more money we spend, the more programs that we create to try to substitute for mothers and families, the more we actually displace mothers, fathers, and families from each other. We reduce their responsibility for each other, and in so doing, we really hurt particularly children. The children, you know, are not happier with other people than they are with their very own mother, regardless of how much money that mother makes or her husband makes or what kind of, you know, background they have. That children are the happiest when they are cared for by their mother and their father in a happy home. And so every single government program that aims to help them actually undermines that problem. So what we should be doing as a society is encouraging families to be self-sufficient and helping support them in the private sector rather than actually, you know, increasing their disintegration through creating family substitute programs.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Wrong GOP, Making Babies Should Be Between a Husband and a Wife, Not a Single Woman and Taxpayers. You can read her columns at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thanks.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., it's This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll have Chris Rosebro answer the question, did Jesus expect Mary and Martha to raise Lazarus from the dead? We'll also discuss the sacrament of holy baptism, both the nature of baptism and the blessings of baptism, from Luther's Small Catechism with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House. And we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Be Strong and Courageous from Joshua 1:9 is the theme for the 41st academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.